Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is an important Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about HIV. It is long past being the deadly disease we knew it to be during the 1980s and 90s, but it is still with us. And tonight, we will talk about the health issues surrounding HIV in one of our local communities and how you best can address it for yourself. My guests are Eric Pierce and Bentley Joseph. They are disease control specialists for the Prince George's County Health Department's STI HIV prevention program. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this important conversation.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Sure thing. Let me start with you, Eric. Talk to me about what the latest numbers coming out of the Prince George's County, coming out of Prince George's County are.
You mean like as far as like HIV numbers?
Yes, exactly. What infection rates do you, what do you have regarding those numbers?
Okay. Well, first I just know, we'll say like from Prince George's County in particular, and these numbers can be, you can kind of look at it as very similar to the whole region, but specifically for Prince George's County. And I'm looking at numbers where how they are reported. So we may be looking, it may not be like today's numbers, you know, we may be looking back for like 2022 as we find all of those numbers together. What we can say is that just more than 50% of the new HIV diagnoses in Prince George's County in particular, since we're talking about this particular demographic, were among Black men, you know, and just despite being a group that's, you know, at the highest risk for contracting HIV, Black men are like less likely to seek out HIV testing or HIV preventative care that could help mitigate this risk. So, you know, if you just kind of look at that as a whole, you we're talking about Black men, right? And just our health. And if we're thinking about more than 50% of the new diagnoses are Black men, then clearly we need more support for that demographic. And to best give that support, we need to understand that demographic and what's going on and how we can give them those resources and that support.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about PrEP. For those who are unfamiliar with that term, P-R-E-P, what is that?
So PrEP, basically PrEP, pre-exposure prophylactics medication, which could either be Biktarvy or I think the other one, there's this new one, I think that just came out, Cabenuva, which you could take, I think, once or twice a month. So basically PrEP is for individuals who are HIV negative, and they could take this medication to prevent some from testing positive for HIV. Now, we do offer PrEP here at the health departments and other health departments, as far as Howard County offer PrEP and other 501c3s within the county offer PrEP. And also with that regimen, people are also tested for different STDs within the whole package of the PrEP care. So those individuals are also tested for stuff like syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. So most of the times, if we have a couple where the man might be positive for HIV in care, we might probably refer him, I mean, his spouse or his partner to take PrEP. So basically that medication will keep you HIV negative, but you have to be HIV negative in order to get on PrEP.
So explain that to me. So you're saying that if you are HIV negative, why would you need to take PrEP?
Well, we recommend it to individuals who have, how would I put it, more than one partner or several partners. We also recommend it to individuals whose partners are also HIV positive. So basically, PrEP will basically prevent you from getting infected with the virus HIV if used properly. PrEP and PrEP, which is Biktarvy, Descovy, and Cabenuva.
So I'm assuming these are pills?
Well, Biktarvy is a pill, Descovy is a pill, and Cabenuva is a shot that you would get, I think it's either once or twice a month. I'm not sure. It's newly being entered into our regimen as far as medication we offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. The biggest point of emphasis, I would say, is just like, you know, a lot of things when you're looking at health is a preventative measure, right? So when you say, why would someone negative need to take a medication, you know, when
something they don't have.
Right. So the idea is we want to look at, even if you look at the name of that particular resource, pre-exposure, you know, that's what we're talking about. So that preventative aspect of it. So, you know, yes, you don't have it, but in the event that you may in your life have sexual activity that may be unprotected, you know, where you can contract, say, HIV. But if you have this extra resource, this extra medication in your system that you're already taking, that's covering your DNA from contracting this, you know, so then that's an added resource to keep you and your community safe and negative. So it's a preventative measure to keep and to ensure that you are negative and that there's no spread. Because a lot of times, you know, hey, we're talking about Black men, right? So if we're not necessarily going to the doctors on the regular, if we're afraid of going in and finding out about things, things may be happening in our lives and we don't even know it, right? And so if we're taking this medication, then that is even helping us to be safe, you know, so that if we're not going and taking those extra means, and also as you're on this medication, you're being monitored. You're going in and seeing a doctor. All are working in tandem together so that you're aware of your status, you're aware of other things that are happening within your body, and you're keeping yourself safe and prevented from HIV contraction.
So let me make sure that I understand this. If you are HIV negative and you decide to take PrEP, okay, mm-hmm. Does PrEP prevent you from contracting it, or does PrEP only prevent you from testing positive? Is PrEP like a condom or not?
Well,
and this is really important for those who, not only for the men, but for women as well, because there is, and I don't want to mince words here, but I want to make sure that people fully understand there, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is a difference between being negative and testing negative. Help me with that.
You want to take this one, Eric? Well, as far as PrEP, right? Basically, PrEP is basically, if taken right, as far as the medication, if taken right every single day, it'll, and also you have to take into account, you have to be HIV negative. So anyone who wants to get on PrEP has to be HIV negative.
Which means you don't have HIV.
Which you don't have the virus in
you. So you decide to take it because what?
Based on your sexual risk factors, where you do not want to test positive for HIV down the line.
Okay, but it does not prevent you from contracting HIV, but it prevents you from testing.
No, it prevents you from contracting the virus.
That's HIV. What I needed to know.
So,
and that's what people want to know. So this,
so
essentially, this is the same process as safe sex and using a condom. But this is a medical, this is a medical prophylactic, not a physical prophylactic.
So that's why I use the term of a preventative measure. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if you wear a condom, which is something that we absolutely, tell everyone to do, you know, then that should help you prevent yourself from contracting an STI, right? You know, mm-hmm. things can happen, and this is not like in the form to like go through a full STI education, but a condom. Know, can
let us say that in this day and age, I don't think it is a time where you should not go through a full STI education.
So a condom can come off, a condom can break, things can happen. So whereas like if you thought you're wearing it, oh, I'm just good no matter what, you know, you can wear it improperly. There's a lot of things that can take place. But that measure, wearing one is a preventative measure to help prevent you from, one, impregnating and contracting an STI. So those are, that's that preventative measure. This is a medication that's a preventative measure to help prevent you from contracting HIV. So testing negative, one, is something that you got to go in and take a test and have a test read properly and that you know you are now negative. And not contracting something means you're taking measures to not contract, you know. And so this is a medical preventative measure that you would take in either in a pill or a shot to prevent you from contracting HIV. A condom is something that you will wear to help prevent you from contracting an STI, HIV, or having exchange of fluids that would produce the birth of a child. So that's what we're talking about there.
Talk to me about the impact that this has on Black women. We've already discussed Black men quite a bit, but talk to me about some of the risk factors and other issues surrounding, you know, Black women.
As far as what, you were talking about PrEP or HIV?
Just in general, yeah. HIV. Talk to me about the social ramifications. Obviously, there are issues here that impact Black women as well. This is not just about men who are using or who are with same-sex partners. This also has to do with women who are having sexual activity with partners of the opposite sex.
As far as HIV and women, I would say women are more, how would I put it? Women would more likely go see their doctor quicker than a man would go see their doctor. So for you to catch that new case of HIV among women would be, how would I say, that number would be higher than would be among men. As far as most men, we don't get tested until we're almost down or broken down or starting to feel symptoms as well. So as far as HIV in women, there are definitely medications, and with getting into ID care, and if also you are pregnant too, by taking your antiviral medication and being pregnant, it actually prevents your newborn from actually testing positive as well too. But I would say, as far as men getting to get tested, I think most of the stigma might be associated with us getting tested, as far as we might feel like the healthcare provider might not provide adequate information. Some people might not have health insurance to get tested.
And I would just say, I mean, sexual health is important no matter, you know, if you're male, female, you know what I mean? And so even for our women, knowing status, getting tested, having those conversations with their partners is a key thing. Being able to openly discuss about preventative measures. What are we gonna do? Are we, some of us taking pills? Are we wearing condoms? What are we doing to make sure that we are keeping ourselves safe as we are engaging in sexual activity? And so that's what we promote, you know, at the end of the day. What can you do preventatively to promote sexual health and even just sexual equity, to make sure that everyone has access to the same resources? We even promote PrEP, since that's been kind of like a topic of the conversation, to our women as well. It's not just a male medication that women should take. If they are tested negative for HIV, that they should take PrEP as well. You know, let's just keep it 100. Not everyone's always honest and forthright with what they're doing or what they have going on from a health perspective when they have partners in their lives. So if you do what you can, if you can control what you can control, you know, and make sure that you have condoms on hold, if you know, is on standby, if you are taking PrEP, then that's what we want to do, is really just teach and really promote preventative care for everyone and make sure that everyone has access to it.
Hold that point, because I do have several questions just about some of the things that you did mention. But we are going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear this in every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our Medical Monday conversation about HIV. My guests are Eric Pierce and Bentley Joseph. They are disease control specialists for the Prince George's County Health Department's STI HIV Prevention Program. Gentlemen, I want to go back to one of the things that we were talking right before the break. And Eric, you were talking about transparency, for example. How do you believe that that social issue about transparency has evolved since HIV/AIDS has stopped becoming a deadly disease, and addressing the issue of stigma in that social setting? What are you hearing?
Man, I'll just say, I think transparency, you talking about the evolution of that. Transparency has absolutely taken an evolution, even just in the work that we do as disease control specialists. Part of our job is to reach folk who have, one, tested positive for STIs, and particularly HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea. But not only that, but do what we call partner services, which is very similar to contact tracing, right? And so those conversations look a lot like we contact you and we talk about, you know, hey, make sure that you are aware of your test. Or if you're a partner, make sure that you're aware that you may have been exposed to something, right? And so a lot of those conversations, because we get into a lot of discussion, hey, do you know where you got this from? Or do you know who you've been with? And how can we help them become aware of their status now? And a lot of times we may hear, I didn't tell anybody, you know what I mean? Or, hey, my partners are anonymous, so, you know, it is what it is. Or, hey, I was on an app and I hooked up with somebody anonymously, and there's no discussions about that. And so there's less of a feeling of like integrity that, or ownership that I need to tell everybody what I'm going through. We're just doing what we do. And so absolutely, transparency has evolved. What we are charged with is just to make sure that everyone has that transparent conversation as much as we can. We even help navigate those conversations. To say, hey, if you're not comfortable with having that conversation, we can come along and help you have that conversation with your partner. Or you can stay out of the conversation. Give us the information and we'll make that contact and make that connection. And we don't bring you up. We cannot bring you up. We'll just call them and say, hey, you know, you may or may not have been exposed, and my job is to help you get tested and help you find where you can get tested and educate you on what you need to know so that you can be more aware of yourself. So that's kind of what we're seeing in today's world. It can get a little tougher to hear the transparency. We may not see that as much. And so our message is to try to promote more of that transparency, because the more that you know something, the more that now I'm empowered to make that decision on what I'm going to do or what I'm not going to do. But if I'm not giving that information, I can't make as much of an informed decision as I could if I knew.
So with that said, and I think you said something that struck me, the dating has also evolved from people meeting organically. In the public square, in social settings, to, as you mentioned, apps. What impact do you believe that has had on the infection rate? Either one of you, if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, DNAPS has definitely, I guess, make it much easier for individuals to get in touch with each other. And I would say that, like Eric, I'm piggybacking off Eric, say a lot of people are having a lot of anonymous sex too. And honestly, that there's a lot of, they're having a lot of anonymous partners and also condomless sex too as well. So with that happening, we definitely do see the increase in individuals testing positive for the STDs, including HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. But one aspect too, we advertise on some apps, I think Grindr, Adam for Adam, and let people know that, hey, you could get tested. And with the evolution of the way people meet, also how people get care also has evolved too, because you could also get tested by going on a website, signing up, and then they'll send you an at-home testing kit. And you'll get that you get the at-home testing kit, you'll take the test, send it back. And also if your test is positive, you'll get a call from your doctor, from that doctor, and you can go to like the local CVS or the pharmacy to pick up a prescription. So the same way how we see the way we interact with each other has changed, we also see the way people getting tested has changed and the way people receive medication as well.
Mm. You mentioned testing, and there are so many options now. Yeah. for testing, whether, you know, obviously if you have insurance and if you have a, you know, family physician, you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned, Bentley, about mail-in testing, but also you can go to a CVS or a Rite Aid or a Walgreens, and you can buy off the shelf testing. What are your thoughts about those kinds of off the shelf testings in your local drugstore? Are they accurate? Should you get a second opinion? Should you use testing form A off the shelf? Should you try testing form B off the shelf? Your thoughts about that?
Well, the testing on the shelf, like I know they offer the HIV testing on the shelf. And as far as that, it shows you the guideline. Basically, if your test is positive, I think there's a call number you can call on there. Now, I think those are good materials for individuals to use so they could find out their status. But I would say the only problem you might have with it is if an individual find out they're positive, are they willing to get tested or would they follow up with their provider? But with that being said, we still recommend everyone to get tested at a certified location. A health department or your provider, where if your test comes up positive for syphilis, we actually do further tests to confirm that your test is positive. And once we confirm that test is positive, a DIS like me will reach out to you and help you try to get linked to care where you get the HIV medication. So those tests which are sold at the CVS are a good thing, but the only problem is up to that individual if they're willing to take that other step to go the further route if the test is positive too.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, you know, at the end of the day, we need as many people, especially in our community, to get access to testing, you know, and not everyone will go into the door of a health department or to a doctor's office. And so those other options for testing are great. I work for the health department. So, you know, I honestly think the best place to go for testing is right here at the health department. Our Prince George's residents can get free HIV testing and preventative resources at the Cheverly Health Center. That's right there at 3003 Hospital Drive in Cheverly, Maryland, where the old Prince George's Hospital used to be.
We're right off of 295.
Yep, off of 295. But not only there, but also at our Maternal and Child Health Center, which is in Laurel. It's at 14207 Park Center Drive in Suite 102. Now, our Laurel location caters more to residents who are under 21. But again, that's a demographic who needs resources directly for them. And if they just do not want to come to us, then, hey, we also partner with community-based organizations to create greater access to HIV prevention and treatment services all around the community. These organizations offer services at their various locations and even at events throughout the county. So if you don't want to come into a building that's deemed the health department, you can go to another community-based organization. If you don't want to go into a building, they have events. If you don't want to go to one of the events, then you can go to a pharmacy or one of these urgent care and other places to get HIV testing around Prince George's County. So testing is available, and you can even go online and get a test. You can Google. Everybody's got a phone now, and you can Google HIV and STI testing. If you got your location set near me, or you can say in Prince George's County, and you will see us and you will see those community-based organizations pop up. You can even call on that same phone, 301-583-3150, and you'll get right to us, and we will get you in to us. And if we can't do it, we'll find you someone who can get a test to you, one of those other organizations. You can visit health.mypgc.us/ending HIV for even more information on testing. And so it's available, it's out there. And that's the thing. We need everyone to know their status and get tested and get regular testing. Don't just get a test today and then think, all right, I'm good for years to come. Every 3 months, every 6 months, every year, give your annual checkups, but make sure you get tested and make sure that your partners are as well.
You mentioned testing at the Laurel facility for minors. So what if you're in high school, you're 15 or 16 years old? Let's say you're 16 and you are driving, you have access to a car, but you're still a minor and you want to get tested at a health at the health facility. If you test positive, but you are still a minor, what happens to that information? Does it only stick with that minor individual, or are parents contacted? How does that work?
Well, based on the HIPAA law, that kid, that young child who tests positive for that infection, they're covered by HIPAA law, and we cannot disclose their medical records, even to their parents, even if their parents, they're on their parents' health insurance. So is that we cannot violate that child's, medical information. So that child could come to our clinic and get tested. And as a parent, you know, you want to be concerned about your kids, what's going on. No, we cannot discuss that information with you. This is your child's medical record, and your son or your daughter has to, if they would like to share that information, they can share that with you.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things, and I think this is, you know, particularly important when we're talking about being transparent and disclosing. If you are, let's say you're dating, at what point, and when I say dating, not dating someone, if you are open to dating, if you are operating in the dating space.
Right.
When should you have that conversation? And this is why, you know, I ask, because when, that first date may be, you know, just coffee.
Right.
You know, and I'm just speaking, you know, from a man's perspective.
Sure.
Do you bring it up during the coffee date? Because some women may say, well, dang, this is just coffee, and you're already talking about sex when what you're talking about is sexual health. So is it coffee date? Is it the second date when it's dinner? Is it the third date when it's the walk in the park? You know, how and when you, first of all, when? And... And certainly, obviously, this is not just an issue for heterosexuals.
Right.
But when do you bring it up? and how do you bring it up when you bring it up?
I would say, when would you want to know? Depending on when you would want to know something about that, that's when you should have that conversation with the other person. If, I mean, because at the end of the day,
you already get a guessy.
I was in the dating scene. Some of them coffee dates can turn into dinner dates, can turn into Netflix and chill dates, can turn into woke up the next day. You know, so I can't just put it on it what date it is. Something might go down after a coffee date. Now, what if I don't know? So when I was talking earlier about, you know, just being empowered to know, you know, that's a tough conversation for a lot of people. But a lot of times people are like, yo, if I would have known, I'm not saying I would not have pursued or continued. I just didn't know. So that's why I always say, when would you want to know? Would you have wanted to know what you may or may not have been exposed to right away to even be empowered to make a decision whether to engage or not? So if, depending on that, I would say then had the same conversation, you know, keep that same energy to the next person. So if I can't, me personally, I'd want to know right away so that I know where this is going. Is this going to be a short coffee date or am I thinking about what I'm setting up afterwards? You feel me? So yeah, I'd want to have that conversation right away. But the next person, that might not be for.
So how do you broach the subject if you, you know, on the coffee date, if you say, well, you know, because I am, if I'm saying, yeah, I'm being tested every 6 months or every 3 months or what have you, let's say that, and this is real talk, obviously. If I've not had a date in the past 6 months, but 6 months ago I had my, you know, my yearly checkup, the tune up, the oil change, and the whole bit with my, my primary care physician, and there's been no one in my life for 6 months. And then you meet the lady and you have that conversation, because this is where it can get messy. Well, I haven't had a date in 6 months. There has been no one in my life for 6 months, but here's my record. Here it is on my phone or what have you. And I am HIV negative. But then she says, well, I want you to, get, tested, again, because I just met you. This is coffee. You could be lying about whether you take whole milk, low fat milk, coconut milk, almond milk in your coffee. So, and I joke, but, and I use levity, but I think that is the reality that people should be prepared, even though you know you're telling the truth, to not be insulted, to not be offended, because the upside of that is, in that scenario, well, I want you to get you want to be tested again, because maybe to me that suggests that she likes you enough where she wants to know. Because right. If she didn't like you, then she wouldn't care, because nothing is going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, one thing I know, black and white don't lie. So basically, if you have your test results, then it could be like, all right, I have my results right here. You put it up on your on your patient portal. Mm-hmm. So I think dating, when it comes to the point where you and your partner are starting to talking about sex or having sex with each other, the question should also come a point. The question should also be to, like, hey, look, what's your status? When was the last time you was tested? And like Eric said, there are plenty of clinics everywhere. We could go get tested together. And once you get tested together, at least we know each other's STD status. And then however we choose to move on from there, that would be good too as well.
Yeah, you're making a choice. There's no one-stop shop answer to address all, all mess. You know what I mean? If you had that test already and somebody wants you to test again, you got a decision to make. You know, do I be enough with this partner that it's worth the investment to test again? Or you gonna stand 10 toes on your business and say, hey, I was tested 10 months ago, I haven't done anything. You got to take that or not. You know what I mean? It's a decision, you know, and if that person means enough to you, then hey, I'll go get tested again, no problem. But, you know, it's no one answer, you know, to address all those angles.
So I do want to talk about, we've already discussed PrEP, but let's talk about treatment moving forward if someone does test positive, because we have seen so many kinds of treatments. I remember years ago reporting on what was called the AIDS cocktail. That was one of the very first treatments years and years ago. And there were all kinds of difficult side effects and the like. As it relates to the medication now, how is HIV treated? And I'm not talking about as it relates to testing negative. I'm talking about you test positive. What are the next steps to living a healthy lifestyle? Not a sexual lifestyle, but a healthy lifestyle.
I think the best way to answer that, right, because, you know, I'm not a rep for anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? But what I say is the best treatment is an informed treatment, which means, you know, if you're positive, you find the right specialist, the right infectious disease doctor that's for you, and you all come up with the right treatment for you. It may be a particular medication. It may be a particular series of medications. It may include a holistic approach. It may include you getting health services for other health related issues so that you can make sure your immune system is as on point as possible. You know, so I can't say, oh, it's just one treatment or it's just one pill or, you know, it's just one medication or this group of medications. It varies from patient to patient upon need to need. And so the best treatment is treatment. No treatment, not knowing your status or knowing your status, knowing you're positive and not getting any treatment is that's the problematic part. You know what I mean? The more you can get treated and with the evolution, we talked about that word before, with the evolution of treatments and medications now, you can reach what we call undetectable, where you are not transmitting that virus to your partners if you are under proper treatment. And so we advertise getting into treatment and getting into care right away, as soon as you know, so that one, your health is as maximized as possible. Everyone else around you is experiencing the same maximized health care. You know, and that could be, that's a whole nother conversation. We just open up the broad spectrum of healthcare, but treatment is different for everybody. It may be a pill. It may be a series of pills. It may be shots. It may be holistic. It's so many things that can take place right now. It may be, hey, we're not going to put you on meds right now based on what we're seeing with your numbers, you know, but I want you to come back maybe more expedited care to let's monitor your numbers. Let's see what else you're doing so that then we know when the best time is. But ultimately, you know, most of the time we say get into treatment, get into care right away and get on a medication right away. Reach undetectable status where you're not spreading that to anyone else. And that is the best way to go. How you do it depends upon you and your doctor.
When we spoke about those testing options, the over-the-counter testing options, and obviously that takes, what, 30 minutes, I guess, 20 minutes, something like that. But if you go to a health department, how soon can you expect to get your information? Do you get it while you're there, or do you have to wait, or what?
Well, it depends on the type of HIV test you want to do. We do offer the rapid HIV test where you get your results right away. It'll take up to, I think, 15 to 20 minutes. You get your HIV test results. Or we could do the blood route, which will go to the state lab, and the turnaround will be, I think, 7 business days, and you'll get your lab results in your MyChart account. Mm-hmm. So it depends on which one you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Nowadays, results are coming back faster and faster. So
that too as well.
Why is that? Why are they back faster and faster now?
I mean, just labs are working exponentially. So, you know, hey, they're getting when we get our specimens, we're sending them off, they're getting them right away, and they're testing and getting those results back to us. So, I mean, just that whole process has sped up. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I have a few minutes left, and I'll start with you, Bentley. As you continue to work in this space and encounter people, what is the thing that kind of surprises you about attitudes and the like when you are having those face-to-face conversations? Do you think that things are getting better? Are they getting worse? What would you say?
I would say things are getting a little bit better. And you might have some individuals who still don't necessarily know that you could get a sexually transmitted infection from not wearing condoms. Or some people might not know, like, you get gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis from having oral sex without a condom, vaginal sex without a condom, or anal sex without a condom. But as far as, as far as working in this field, I believe things are getting better because there's more of an incentive, but people are more informed as far as what's going on, as far as infections out there. And there's more advertisement for people to get tested. There's more locations for people to get tested. And like Eric said, the turnaround to get your results is much quicker. So as far as working in this field, I think people are able to get tested. I mean, people are able to get tested at several locations, and they're able to get their results much quicker than probably before.
Okay. And a real quick comment from you, Eric.
I would say, like Bentley said, people are more informed. I mean, you have access to information on your phones now. And so everyone's a doctor, everyone knows things. But, you know, and even just with Black men, they see themselves, not as at risk. When the reality is, the more you're informed, the more you get tested, the better. And so it does come with different, perspectives or attitudes based on the information. Some of the information that's available is not the best information. So coming in to see a specialist, coming to see or having a conversation with someone like us, can give you a more specialized discussion around your sexual health, around HIV. And so that's probably the best to do. People are being more active and more involved in their own health. And that's a great thing.
Well, I think this is a great way to end this conversation. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your input. And thank you for the work that you're doing to try to keep the community safe and healthy. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, May 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.